My name is Craig with Mental Health Insights, and today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how important it is to out loud describe how you're feeling, or to describe your mental health, or describe the experiences that you're having. So really, it's going to be about exploring the power of language and how that affects our mental health, how that affects our ability to communicate what's going on with us. And this is something that is really important, because a lot of times this is one of the primary things that therapists are helping do with people that come and see us. We are people that sit in a room with others, and they are sharing with us their experience in their life from their perspective, and whenever they share with us these experiences, a lot of the exploring that we do is helping create language around experiences. And creating language helps in so many different levels us deepen an experience that we have. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that. So words are what we use to describe experiences that we have. Sometimes we can use it in writing, but for humans, primarily one of the ways that we communicate different things is actually by speaking them aloud. And is that the primary way? No, actually body language is one of the primary ways. However, because words are not always the primary way that we communicate, it requires more thought to be able to do this. And that's something that's really important. Whenever we use language to describe something, we have to categorize it. We have to understand it. And we have to actually be able to go through the process in our minds of being able to use words that can help someone else understand what it is in our perspective and our experience. It's a process that we have to go through that helps us let other people understand what it is that we're going through. And one of the biggest challenges that a lot of people have with mental health in general is challenges around describing their own experience or what they're going through. And whether or not a lot of therapists realize it, or whether or not a lot of people that go to therapy realize this, or whether or not you who's listening to this realize this, is that your ability to describe the things that are going on with you is many times directly related to the amount of release that you can feel whenever you communicate what is actually happening to you. And to be able to have someone else not only hear what's going on with you and understand that, but to actually be able to validate that experience. So that validation piece is important, and we've talked about it a little bit before. I would recommend that if you want to understand some of the importance of validation, it's something that I talk about a little bit on this podcast, and maybe it's something that I'll actually dedicate an episode to. But Brené Brown is a really great resource for this. She has all kinds of things, from TV shows to podcasts and different things like that, that speak to being like the importance of validation and really the importance of accepting other people. But one of the things that I want to focus on today is actually the capability of us describing what's going on. And there are a lot of different factors in this that I find truly fascinating. And for me, being especially a male in our culture, in our society, in our world, that a lot of times I have gotten the message, especially whenever I've grown up, or just in general, like around friends, or like I said, a lot of cultural things, is that guys don't talk about their feelings. They don't talk about things that are going on. They don't talk about their problems. And there's a lot of truth to that in the culture that I grew up in. And one of the challenges with not talking about it is that as you get older, your capability of describing something that's happened to you or something that is happening to you currently is diminished, because you don't really have as much practice about it, or practice with it, rather. So often I will have a teenager, or I'll even have an adult with me, whether or not they're an adult male or not, and they may not have a good understanding or a good way of communicating actually what is going on with them. And this does a couple things. Is whenever it's hard for us to describe something that's going on with us, usually we'll take shortcuts and we may use words like, oh, I don't know, or it just feels bad, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, pick your 99 cent word, where it's just a real easy generalization, right? I feel bad, I feel good, I feel sad, I feel happy. And not to say that those descriptors are awful, but it doesn't really give us a lot of understanding about what's going on because it's so general. And our lack of ability and people's lack of ability to describe what is going on with them impacts them in so many ways. Because our brain, which is meaning-seeking and understanding-seeking, whenever it doesn't really have the language to describe what's going on, it's limited in its capacity to think about something. So it's very similar to how other cultures, like I know that this is, so this is kind of showing you a different side of me, is that I am a Christian, I enjoy learning and understanding the Bible, and one of the primary challenges with the Bible is that whenever it is translated, the words in ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek that are translated to, for me, English, a lot of times the English translation, the words that are chosen actually don't have as much meaning as the ancient Hebrew or the ancient Greek words. And, a lot of times that's just rough translation. That's kind of how it goes. Whereas a word, like love may mean, in ancient Hebrew, there may be three different words for the word love. And they all mean something a little bit different. But each of those words, when translated in English, just get translated to love because that's the only word that we have that's categorized that way. And that's just an example. So because of this, there are certain barriers that our own language just creates in allowing us to express ourselves. Another good example is that certain cultures have a larger variety of words for colors. My son loves to use crayons, and one of the, he has crayon boxes that have like 7 crayons in them, and then he has like the 24 crayon boxes, and I've even seen the ones that have like a lot more than that, like 50 crayons or different things like that. And you see all those different colors and they have the different names. And like for someone like me who is really lame in capability of differentiating colors and different things like that, I have a limited capability of understanding and describing a color and how it differentiates from something else. I got blue and light blue. But, there's something like baby blue. There's different types like candy blue or air blue or, navy blue. There are these ways of describing blue that are sometimes beyond my capability because I don't really know how else to describe it. It's either blue or light blue for me. So if I only have blue, light blue, and navy blue, or dark blue, whatever you want to call it, if I only have those couple options to describe blue, there's a whole color spectrum that I'm not actually able to describe to someone. And, I can get through my life with that. However, if there is an experience that I'm having that's really important that I can communicate the exact shade of blue, I'm not going to be able to do it. Now let's take this kind of conversation and translate it over to me describing to my wife an emotional experience that I'm having, or even just an experience in general. If I have less words to describe it, then I'm not going to be as accurate and precise. And really, that means that I'm actually going to be incapable of thinking about as much. And George Orwell's group, 1984, he talks about something in that book called Newspeak, which is basically a new way of talking and describing things that limits the vocabulary that people can use to talk about different things. And that's exactly how it is whenever we're describing our experiences or emotions or things that are going on. If we don't have a lot of words to describe it, then our actual capability of thinking about it has gone down. So Now that I kind of, in my opinion at least, made my case for why it's important to have more ability to describe things, because the more ability we have to describe things, one, the more it helps us process through what's actually going on, right? If I can say out loud that, like, I feel sad, it's like this weight that's just dragging me down, or like I have a heavy blanket, and every time that I walk with this heavy blanket, it feels like someone's, you know, spraying a hose on it. It's just getting heavier and heavier and more wet and dragging me down more and more. That descriptor that I just had right there is much more than I feel sad, right? If I tell my wife that, you know, whenever she calls, you know, she calls me a goofus, that, you know, whenever, you know, hey, Craig, you're a goofus, and she calls me that, and I say, you know, whenever you say that, it actually makes me, it makes me feel like playful, like you're not actually saying that I'm doing much wrong, and it kind of lets me know that you really love and care about me, because you're saying it in an affectionate way, in a way that I know that you may not like what I'm doing, but it's okay because it's me and you love me, right? Me describing that, you know, that way is better than, you know, if my wife's like, well, what's it like whenever I call you goofus? And I'm like, oh, it feels fine. So our capability of describing things that go on with us helps us create new categories and new understanding of what's going on. It's the difference between sad with a wet, heavy blanket on me that's being sprayed continually with the hose to make it heavier, and sad like I'm getting a light, warm drizzle of rain on me as I'm walking outside, or sad like it's hard for me to get out of bed and face the day because, you know, it feels like I'm going to get beat up by the day's problems. All those different feelings of sad are they have the different levels of intensity that I can describe differently. And you may notice that, like, I'm using metaphor to describe a lot of these, and that's usually because metaphors are really easy for people to understand. But there's a lot of different ways to communicate about emotions, and it's important that we learn these different ways, because we may not have a large variety of words to use to describe them, but metaphors, we have an infinite amount, or pretty much an infinite amount of metaphors to be able to use to describe things. But the other thing that we can use is just sensations. You notice that whenever I was describing those feelings, I would talk about a sensation as my body, whether or not it's heavy, or like it just makes me feel slow, or it drags me down, or it lifts me up, it makes me feel light on my feet, or it gives me like butterflies in my stomach. All these different sensations that we can describe in our body also do an extra layer of giving us more language to describe the sensations that we're having, the experience that we're having. The more words that we can use to describe something not only helps us process through a feeling, there's sometimes where we say things that do not quite fit. Right, so if I'm talking to my wife and she says, how was your day at work? And I tell her, hey, you know what? It was really great. And I don't elaborate. You know, she only has a limited amount of experience with that. But if I say, you know, whenever you ask me how my day at work is, and I kind of sit here and think about it, it makes me feel really good. Like, I feel like I got some good things done today. I feel like today was a productive day. And whenever I think about it, I get this warm feeling in my gut. Well, that warm feeling in your gut, that's a good describer, right? That's helping deepen the understanding. But I could also say that, and you know, like, you know, actually it wasn't that good of a day. Like, whenever I think about it, it was a good day, but it doesn't really give me the warm feeling, actually. It just, like, I'm just glad that I was able to get through it and there weren't really very many problems. So it kind of feels like it was a good day, but it was a day where it feels like I just kind of coasted through, and I was able to get through without many problems or many hiccups. It gives us the ability to, whenever we describe something, we can correct ourselves or we can elaborate on things. And that's usually actually what therapists help us do, is they help deepen the experiences that we have. Because if we don't deepen the experiences that you have, then you are not doing as much thinking or as much processing about what's happening. And the use of language is important with that. Now, you could go and, you know, you could open up your dictionary to learn a whole bunch of new words, or open up your thesaurus to find out like words or anything like that to try to expand your vocabulary, and that's something that's helpful too. But for a lot of us, using metaphors or being able to use the body sensations to describe how things are going for us can get us pretty far just in itself. Being able to describe different things with words helps, don't get me wrong. But actually being able to use a metaphor to help, you know, whenever I walked into the room and I saw that there's 50 people there, like all of a sudden I felt like I was, you know, an ant in a colony and there's hundreds of thousands of ants and I'm just a drone, right? I'm just another person in the crowd doing everything that everyone else is doing and I'm indistinguishable from all of them. Right, being able to use different metaphors helps to paint a much broader picture to help someone understand what's going on and to help you understand what's going on. And that's actually one of the most important things, is giving yourself the chance to paint those pictures and allowing yourself to use language in that creative way helps you understand things that are going on with you more. Because bottom line is, whenever you're thinking about things, it takes more calories for your brain to expand and explore an experience that you have. So it's going to use a more limited amount of language to describe it unless you allow it more time to kind of churn and chew and process and meditate on an experience that you have. So if you don't give yourself enough time to do that and to actually create it, then the brain's going to do kind of like a, you know, it's simplifying everything. And, you know, that's okay for some experiences, right? Like, you know, my trip to the grocery store, I might not need it to be more elaborate. But interactions that I have with my wife, my child, people that are important in my life, or experiences that I have are really tough, or experiences that I have that have really shaped me, I want to have more words to describe those experiences, because if I don't, then I'm not allowing myself to process the full extent that an experience has impacted me, and I'm going to have limited capability of describing it. Being able to describe something with a fuller array of detail and a fuller array of words and concepts, we said that it helps you understand more, it helps someone else understand more. It also feels different. Let me share an experience I had with you the other day, and this is, or not the other day, but also that I've had quite a few times before. Whenever I work with clients, we talk about a feeling and sensation of guilt. So many therapists that may listen to this, you know, you guys know how it feels like whenever a client of ours, a patient of ours talks about guilt. For a therapist, a lot of times it's like, oh goodness, because we know how devastating guilt can be. It is a downward spiral that we go into, that we get stuck in, and it's hard to get out. I don't mean we as therapists, I mean we know people can get into that. You know, therapists can too, because we're people. But whenever someone starts talking about guilt, there's not really a lot that, you know, it's taking you down a slope that, you know, is a slippery slope that's really hard to climb back up. And whenever someone starts going down there, one of the actual helpful things for some people is actually to talk about the feelings and sensations of being guilty and expand on it and deepen that. Because if they can expand on it and deepen it, sometimes they say it out loud and they're like, well, wait a second, that's not true. Let me give you a really good example. I have a, I've worked with someone that is a parent, and they've told me before that they feel guilty that they go to work, because whenever they go to work, they can't spend time with their children. Now, most of us that are parents, we can empathize with that, and we may have even felt guilty for that before too. I tell you right now, me as a father, I feel guilty for that, going to work and not being able to spend time with my child. At the same time, me sitting there and saying that out loud, I feel guilty because I don't get to spend as much time with my child. Me saying that, well, I don't get to spend much time with my child. However, like, whenever I'm gone, I'm doing, you know, I'm going to work, I'm providing, I'm getting him things that he may need, whether or not that is, you know, clothes that he may need, or food, or, you know, providing him a warm home, or anything like that. I'm actually doing things that are very helpful to him whenever I'm gone. And I try to get home as soon as I can, or I want to get home to him as soon as I can. Or I know that, like, you know, whenever I am spending time away from him, even if it's just to spend time with friends, that sometimes when I'm doing that, it's so that I can feel refreshed and rejuvenated, so that I can be a good father to him, so that I can be patient with him. And as I describe that and as I talk about it, what could have just started out as me feeling guilty for it, the more and more I talk to about it, you know, I don't necessarily feel better about leaving my son, but I also recognize that there is a certain necessity to it. My son's life and my life are not the same life, and we are going to have separate lives, and as he gets older, he's going to continue to gain his independence, which means that me giving him some of his space will allow him to develop his own personality, his own independence, which is going to be good for him in the future. Now, I still feel guilty about leaving work and not being able to be around him. However, even just me talking through it right now, I can feel in my body like that guilt, which for me is kind of like a pinprick, like if someone was just kind of stick a needle in my chest, that's kind of what that guilt feels like for me. I can feel that it's a little bit less. And some of it is because as we say stuff out loud, we start to realize and things start to add together like, well, wait a second. I don't really know if I need to feel as guilty as this, because it's not like I'm doing this to get away from him because I want to. Well, no, I don't want to be away from my son, right? So just talking about things helps us process through it in a different way, and having more language to do that aids in this processing, right? So kind of rewinding just a little bit, I talked about not only increasing the amount of language that we have to help us talk about things that are going on, but also the importance of actually communicating it out loud, because communicating it out loud, it means that you actually have to use the words and you speak them out loud, and you can hear the words that you said, which, you know, whenever I did the episode just a couple episodes ago about why counseling works, there is something really important about speaking something out loud and hearing what you said to help solidify whether or not it's truthful or not, or whether or not you need to kind of adjust the statement. The same thing happens with this process too. And actually sharing it with somebody, speaking it out loud and sharing it with somebody is something that is important, because whenever you speak to someone else about the experience that you have, they can then share with you what they heard, and you guys can reflect upon whether or not that's true, or whether or not they understand and come to a more full conclusion about what had happened or what it is that you've experienced. I want my wife to understand the experiences and feelings I'm going through, because I don't want her to be guessing. Because the truth is, if I let her guess, then she's, you know, my wife's a pretty anxious person a lot of times. So if I let her guess, she's going to be usually guessing something that's a lot worse than what reality is. And I don't want that for her. And you know what? I'm a pretty anxious person sometimes too. So sometimes if I leave myself to guessing how things are, I'm going to guess, you know, her feelings or her experiences may be worse than they actually are. So her describing me things that are going on with her with a much richer language helps me as well. So I want to be able to help her by offering her the richness of my experiences so she doesn't have to guess. And I want to offer myself the ability to process things just as I would hope to receive from her. So this is just something I was just mulling about earlier. And I felt like it's really helpful, because this is one of the things that I do a lot with clients, is just help them understand understand more about how to communicate what's going on with them. So many clients that I work with tell me that they don't They don't know how to talk about things that are going. They don't know how to talk about their feelings. And of course, if you've never been taught that, you don't really know how. And if I was just going to give you a short process of how to do that. So the first thing is being able to just pick up a general sense of what the feeling is. Being able to have some type of label for it. Whether or not that's like sad, happy, angry, excited, you know, whether or not it's elated, or it's down, or it's up, or it's awful, or it's just wonderful, it's cloud nine, you know, just to kind of give you some ideas, you know, there are so many different feeling words that we can use, but even just narrowing it down, even if it's just kind of one of the, you know, like I said before, the 99 cent words or the easy words, like happy, sad, mad or content or anything like that, being able to have a general label of what it is that I'm experiencing. The next step would be to try to recognize and notice a sensation that happens in my body. There is always a sensation that happens in your body with a feeling. Your brain and your body work on parallel systems. Now, you may not recognize it because we're, you know, all of us as human beings, we have different levels of, you know, capability and different levels of practice and noticing what's going on with our body. But the more and more of that you experience a feeling, you have a label for it, and you notice what's going on in your body, that's just another way of describing it, right? Whenever I'm sad, I feel like I have this heaviness in my heart, or whenever I'm, or that's one part of sad, right? I could also be sad, and whenever I'm sad, I'm experiencing like a droopiness in my eyes. Or when I'm sad, I can feel this tension in my throat. Or when I'm sad, I can feel this, like, oh, this just ache in my back. Right? There are different sensations that go along with different feelings that you're having. So being able to have a general sense of what the feeling is, being able to describe something that's in your body, and if you want to take a third step of going even deeper, is trying to describe that feeling in your body and that general feeling word as a metaphor, right? Right now, I am feeling this sad feeling, and I feel it in my chest. You know, it feels like that I have a 25-pound weight sitting on my chest. It makes it hard to breathe, right? Just painting a picture for someone else helps them understand, right? Right now, I am feeling super excited. I could feel it in my muscles. It's like electricity going through my body, and I don't want to sit still. Right now, I'm feeling happy. Even just as I'm saying this, it's just so hard to stop smiling. I could feel it on my face. It just wants to lift up. There are infinite ways of describing things, and that formula is probably one of the easier ways, right? Getting a generalized idea of the feeling, right, the label that you may be able to use for it, even if it's just general, being able to identify a body sensation and being able to paint or create a picture or metaphor from it, just to be able to help people understand. You'd be surprised how much this will increase your ability to communicate what's going on with you, and even just deepen your own way of thinking about things that are going on with you. So Well, yes, I do hope that this is helpful for you, and even just understanding why it's important to have words to describe what are going on, you know, what's going on with you. And I even hope that that three-step process I just outlined is helpful as well. If you found this podcast helpful and this episode helpful, I would ask that you'd share with other people you feel may benefit from it. And I would also ask that you give us a 5-star review in whatever podcasting app that you're listening to so that other people can find this free resource. And again, thank you for listening to this episode. And until next time, I wish you all well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Thank you. music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.